Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
On today's episode of All the Shit I've Learned Abroad, we're talking about one of our favorite travel topics, which is solo traveling. So in 2024, solo travel is becoming more popular than ever, but it can still be very daunting for those who have yet to take their first solo trip. So in today's episode, we're going to give you our hot tips on all the great things that you can do while solo traveling. And while you might be alone, you'll never feel lonely. Another episode. Hey, Steph.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Steph and I are doing attempt number two.
Take two.
At giving you some visuals. I don't know if anyone has seen our latest post on the socials, but you will see what we managed to record last time and what Steph posted. So Steph's like sort of venture into content creation. After her
rocky start,
after her retreat is off to a flying start.
It's terrible,
but it's a great video. And Steph was even saying it's our most liked and engaged with video so far on the podcast socials, which is, I don't know what that says about our regular content. About
it is
travel.
Our most engaged post ever.
So yeah, if anyone wants to go watch Steph eat an ice cream cone.
By myself.
Do you know, I'm sure there's probably some weird people out there that...
Yeah, I posted it on the wrong page.
Yeah, exactly. So tune into Steph's OnlyFans later this week. Just kidding. So yeah, so we're hopefully going to be able to give you guys a few visuals from this episode.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
And again, this will not be a every episode ordeal, guys.
Okay.
And we're not giving you full episodes yet. We're not there yet.
Yeah. So this week, since we last recorded, I actually just booked a flight today. I'm pretty excited. It's a work trip. They're all work trips these days. But
always, yeah.
I'm going to make an adventure out of it. Since my last work trip, I really faltered there.
Yeah.
What's new with you? What's new in the world of Andrea since our last episode?
I mean, not a whole lot. I have some Airbnb updates. So for our listeners that have... You know, maybe you're tuning in for the
first
time.
Been on the journey with you.
Coming on the Airbnb journey with me. So I started renting out my spare room in my place back in August. And I, you know, I said, I want to be the change on Airbnb. I want to be the good host. I want to be the positive side of Airbnb.
And what does that mean? Like, what's a good host?
Just, you know, I don't charge exorbitant fees. I don't have cleaning fees for the spare room.
Okay.
I'm pretty flexible, you know, with my cancellation policies, that all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think because I live in the house, you know, that's where I can be very flexible, you know. And, you know, I've got nice little amenities in the room, a coffee machine, a nice little fridge, like just to make everyone's stay just a little bit nicer.
Love that.
And so far, I have had a very good run. So in the last 8 months, I've been doing it.
But
I've been having a few little hiccups. I think I talked before about, you know, the couple getting locked in my bathroom, the people that lost my keys, my shoes getting stolen,
yeah.
Which I So, which I still haven't found the shoes. And so then I had this past weekend, I had a girl that booked my place. And for the men listening, I don't know if you can resonate with this, but the women listening, women's gut feelings, we have an intuition that I feel men don't have. And women's 100%. Intuitions are always right.
Yes.
Our gut feeling, yet we don't always listen to it. And we, it's after the fact, we go, oh, should have listened.
Yeah.
And so I had this girl, woman, book my place. And her booking came through. She had no, like, profile, like, previous stays or anything. And I just didn't have a good feeling about it, but I accepted her.
It's tricky, isn't it? Because you need that first review to get moving, but right. You need someone to take a chance on you. It's tricky.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know, and I have let other people stay before that didn't have reviews. But I don't know. There was something about this person. I don't know what it was. And I was like, I don't get a good feeling from this. And then I even checked if I had, like, if I were to cancel, what, like, I was going to get charged with a bunch of cancellation fees. And that then makes you a shitty host. It puts your sort of score. So I was like, oh.
And if you cancel on someone, because you're a super host, right?
Yes.
So if you cancel on someone, do you lose that?
Yes.
Ooh, big stakes.
Yeah, I have a super host status, meaning all of my reviews are like, basically my reviews are great. I have 0% cancellation. They look at a few things. And if you cancel, I think maybe they give you like one cancellation, but yeah, it takes your super host status down. Yeah. And, you know, I want to have that badge. Anyway, so I was like, you know, fuck it. Just let the girl stay. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And so she initially, when she had reached out to me, she goes, hey, I'm coming to London with my friends. And my listing clearly states two people max because it's a room in my house. Like, I can't host more than that.
Yeah.
So I said to her friends, because I said there's only two people that are allowed. She goes, oh, no, I get that. It's just me and a friend. So I'm like, okay. But still, there was a red flag there where
you knew.
I was like, okay, I don't know.
We tried this shit when we were younger, too.
Exactly. So anyways, the day on her arrival, she said she was going to be getting in late. I said I was going to be out, and I said, look, I'll leave you a set of keys in the lockbox. And she's like, great. So while I'm out, and, you know, I always get nervous when people are staying, like, where I can't be home to greet them. Because I just want to make sure they get in okay and everything. This is why I'm a super host. Anyway, so I leave her the keys and I'm checking my Ring doorbell just to see, like, have they arrived yet? Like, sure enough, it's like 10:30 at night. I'm at my friend's birthday and I see on my Ring doorbell three people entering my flat. Oh. And I immediately was like, alarm bells were going off and I'm like, what the fuck? There was like two girls and a guy. They looked really young. And then I see them like kind of pushed the door open. They pulled back. They were kind of giggling and laughing. They didn't speak English, so I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Yeah.
And then the Ring doorbell just goes out. So I was like, fuck, I need to get home. Like, I need to confront them about this because this is not allowed. Like, they've clearly lied to me. So I went home. My friend brought me home and we go in the house. And then I don't actually know if they're here because the bedroom door was shut.
Yeah.
But then I didn't want to enter. And so I'm knocking on the door and I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure if they're here. And I thought maybe they are just hiding away in the room, ignoring me altogether. So I'm like, what do I do? And then my friend that was with me, he's like, oh, I don't want to leave you if there are just like three randoms in your house. Anyway, so I messaged the girl on the Airbnb app and I said, look, like, why did I see three of you coming into my flat? Clearly this, you know, this is not allowed. She ignored it. She read it, ignored it. And I thought at this point I got to call Airbnb. So I did. And they were like, you know, this is against the rules, like blah, blah, blah. Anyways, the girl wrote back. And she finally kind of said, like, oh, you know, I opened the door and I saw some laundry hanging up and some lights were on, which I did have some laundry hanging there. And she was like, we just were confused and we thought we were in the wrong place. So we left and we went to go stay somewhere else. And I was like, you do know that I live here, right? Mm. And it clicked that she didn't realize I actually lived in the house, even though it says everywhere on the listing.
Yeah,
I live
shared.
There.
Yeah. It's very
shared
obvious.
With the host.
It's either entire house or shared.
Right. And also for the price. I'm like, £50 a night, you're not getting a two-bedroom apartment to yourself in London. Like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Anyways, so she, you know, the best I can think is she booked the place, lied to me even when I said it's two people. She's like, no, it's just me and a friend. Three of them
then
turned
out. Because she thought you'd never
know. She thought I would never know, even though I have a Ring doorbell. And she obviously realized she fucked up and she left. So, you know, I said to her, I'm like, you're more than welcome to stay, two of you, but three of you can't stay here. And then she wrote back the next morning and said, oh, we're going to stay somewhere else. We didn't realize that you lived there. And I said, that's fine. And then she says, what about my money? Am I getting a refund? And I'm like,
like, this is where you learn a lesson the hard way.
This is, and she was young. She was probably like 18.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you're going to have to cancel through Airbnb and you will get some money back. I think I have a moderate cancellation policy, meaning if you cancel during your stay, I still obviously get some of the money. It was also a bank holiday weekend in London.
Yeah.
Like my it's place would have been booked up. It's yeah. money. So she, I think, was a bit, she was expecting me to cancel it where yeah. she'd get a full refund. And I was like, no way. So of the four nights she booked, I actually got paid out for three of them, I think. And I had no yeah. one stay here. So lesson learned.
Win in the end, but some lessons learned on the way.
Yeah, it was a little bit stressful. And my lessons learned from this was, oh, and also she had taken my keys.
Yeah.
So when she left, she had the keys. So I was chasing her to return the keys. I mean, she did eventually, but
thank goodness
I didn't
for
like
that.
The idea of these people running around London with my keys. So, but she did return them. She put through the letterbox. I think she was too embarrassed to actually face me. So
yeah,
she
fair
just
enough.
Sort of popped them through.
Fair enough.
But yeah, but lesson learned. I got to be more, yeah. I think I got to filter out some of these people a bit better.
Yeah.
And lesson learned for the people booking. Look, don't get me wrong. I've definitely lied. Stayed in Airbnbs before where there's more of us. But
I didn't know if I was going to say it. I booked an Airbnb once that was two bedrooms for two people who didn't want to sleep together. And the day of, the owner was like, just so you know, like, since there's only two of you, because it said it was available for four, they're like, you only have access to the one bedroom. Like, if you use the other bedroom, we'll charge you, like, an extra cleaning fee or whatever. But I'm like, we didn't say that up front. And we definitely, like, slept in the separate rooms. This is where I'm not going to sell Airbnb well. And then I, like, in the morning, made the bed pristine. Like, no one would ever.
Was
this you? This might have been you.
This was during one of our road trips in Australia.
Was this a road trip in Australia? Yeah, it was you. Okay. They all start to blend over a while.
Here's the difference. Like, look, if I didn't live in the house and she had done this, I probably wouldn't have cared. But the fact that I don't do it in a place where the host lives, like, obviously,
you're not going to get away
alone,
with that.
No, you're not going to get away with that. And that alone, like, it's more, I can't have, I mean, I barely like having two people here. There's one bathroom. We're sharing space. Like,
yeah.
I was even considering changing my rules to one person only, but there's a pub down the road that actually does a lot of weddings on weekends. So I get a lot of guests that just come for, you know, as wedding guests. So I don't want to do that. But yeah, I mean, we're not suggesting everyone be dishonest, but if you are going to be dishonest, just
be smart about it.
Be smart. Yeah. Not like this girl. So anyways, so that was, you know, it could, again, it could have been worse. It wasn't the worst thing in the world that happened. It was more just annoying. And, you know, I'm finding these little, I'm having a few of these, like, occurrences now with Airbnb, which I guess is bound to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's not every single person's not going to be a win, but at least there was a win or a silver lining in there.
I still got paid.
So talking about, you actually mentioned contemplating only having solo travelers, which was interesting because what we're talking about today is actually things that you can do as solo travelers, which sounds like a very simple concept, but people are so different and what one person does, another might not enjoy. So yeah, we thought we'd talk about kind of the wide variety of things people can do, what we do.
I think with solo travel as well, like, solo travel is on the up, I think, especially for women. And, you know, I know our podcast, we have men and women that listen, but I think a lot of our audience is a lot of women.
Yeah.
In our generation, women are doing a lot of things on their own now. We're buying houses on our own. We're living life. We're having children on our own. We're getting pets on our own.
We're dying alone.
You know, and we're dying alone. Look at Steph and I, you know, we're like pushing 40 and I couldn't be happier on my own.
This is true.
Solo travel, I feel like, is still one, like, I feel like a lot of women are just sort of like starting to inch into it a lot more. And obviously Steph and I are big advocates of it. We've done a few episodes on solo travel. I think one of the things that even I sometimes struggle with when I am solo traveling is maybe keeping myself busy. And you know, when you don't have someone there to chat to and to share your experiences with, you do sometimes notice it. But this is exactly where there's ways to keep yourself busy, to keep yourself entertained. And that doesn't even mean being completely alone on a trip, but yeah. this is what we're going to talk about. Some of the things that, you know, between Steph and I, what we tend to do or what we tend to plan when we know we're going to be on a solo trip that, you know, doesn't feel like, I guess it's the difference between being alone and lonely.
We're here to make sure none of y'all are going to be lonely.
Yeah, we don't want you to be lonely, even though you might be alone while you travel. And, you know, building confidence. We want every woman out there, and man as well, to take their first solo trip. If you haven't done it yet, now is the time. It's 2024. It's all about solo travel nowadays. So
book the trip. Book the flight, book and the then trip. It all falls into place. Number one thing, and I have said this in other episodes, but always start with the walking tour. Even if you have to Google it, if you're in a hostel, they all offer walking tours. If you're in a hotel, if you're in an Airbnb, just Google nearby walking tours. You'll probably be more likely to have to do a paid one, but worth every penny. The walking tour gives you the lay of the land for almost no money. And half the time, or probably even more than half the time, you meet awesome people on the walking tour.
Yep.
Half the time you end up doing other things with them. No pressure if you don't, though. Like, they're just cool. Nice to meet you. Goodbye. The walking tour. It's just you get out there. You're being active from day one. Yeah. Sometimes, depending on the type of trip, it's very easy to not be active. And you're getting to know the town. And you get tips and tricks. Like the things walking tour hosts have told me on, okay, this place is going to be super busy. Here's when you show up. Here's the door you go to if you don't want to wait in a line. All that kind of knowledge that you just rarely will get looking things up online.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even to what you said when I just did my trip to Athens. So again, I did, it was like a food walking tour. We did like a street food tour.
I did that in Spain.
So good. Like, or yeah, even if it's like not a walking tour, like just book like a day tour of some kind that will get you in a group of people. And like, I've done so many walking tours where I've met amazing people and ended up hanging out with them for the day. But yeah, recently in Athens, I did this street food walking tour. There was four of us. It was a really small group. And we did the street food tour. And then the four of us went for drinks after. We went for, you know, a few glasses of wine. And then one of the girls, I ended up meeting her the next day because she was also solo traveling. So we met for more wine. We went to this like Greek restaurant, had some food together, exchanged Instagrams. Like, you know, we're Instapals now. So, you know, this is a great example of where, you might be solo traveling. But by booking these walking tours, just as you said, Steph, it gives you the lay of the land. You can really like understand where you are, where you should go if you want to explore somewhere during your stay there. And then also an opportunity to meet people. And as you said, if it's a group you're not into, cool. Great to meet you guys.
Yeah. You don't have to be friends with everyone.
Exactly. So yeah, book the tour. I would say as well, download Get Your Guide, that app. There's for every sort of like major city around the world, you go on there. It gives you a list of like tours that are happening, whether it's day trips away, walking tours, food tours.
Oh my God, I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can find all the sort of local like tour guides and stuff on there, and they put all their trips in there. You book it online, and then you get like a voucher. You show up the next day and you do the tour. I've booked so many things through that app.
I'm downloading it now. I had no idea that was even a thing. I'm old in my Google. I mean, like, I have walking tours near me.
Okay. I literally use this app like so many solo trips. Like I will fill up my days by just looking at, you know, what tours are on there. And sometimes it's tours that come up that I hadn't even like thought of. Like there might be a day trip somewhere and I'm like, oh, what is this place? I've never heard of it. So yes, Get Your Guide. Not sponsored at all, guys. Genuinely an app that I use all the time.
Oh, I love that. Okay. That's good. That's a hot tip even for me. Thank you.
There you go. We're both learning. The other thing that kind of comes to mind, and I know this is like, we've talked about this before, eating alone. I feel like people have this like fear of going into restaurants, whether you're traveling or not.
Yeah.
And I know I don't mind it. Steph, you love it.
I love it. I prefer it.
Yeah. It's nice. All the food for me. All the apps for me.
I want to order three soups, fries, and mashed potatoes. No one to judge me. I haven't done that, but I just came up with a list of things I love.
Perfect. But dining alone, I think, can be...
I have friends who will not do it.
It's a daunting thing. I think, you know, you feel like everyone is looking at you. You feel like you are being judged, which
you're not.
You're not. Yeah. But you might feel that way. And one of the things that I've done, here's the other thing. Eating out can also be expensive. And sometimes you do want to try a lot of like local cuisines, but when you are alone, I mean, don't get me wrong, I can eat a lot, so I probably could eat like four appetizers and a main and I'd be fine. But some people, delicious. It might be too filling for them. And so, you know, you don't get to experience, you know, all the cuisines maybe you want to. And unfortunately, some restaurants don't cater to single people. I've gone to places where I wanted to.
I know.
But there are places, you know, some of the dishes, it's they make them for two or more people, whatever it is. And the other thing, it's expensive. So one of the tips I have, so I remember even a good example of this when I was in Switzerland. Not that I minded dining alone, but Switzerland is fucking expensive. Restaurants are pricey. And I really wanted to try like lots of the different cheeses and meats they had. And so what I did, I found a grocery store and I went and like bought just a bunch of like mezze type cheeses and meats and olives and whatever. And I found this beautiful park. I think it was in Basel or Bern. I can't remember. And I had like this lovely little picnic by myself. I had some wine and I was able to try like loads of these different cheeses that I wanted to and not have to sit in a restaurant alone. Good. Yeah. But like do a sort of like al fresco picnic. I mean, that's, I think, a great way to do it. Obviously, weather permitting.
Yeah. I mean, that caveat's on everything.
Of course, yeah. But yeah, if you don't feel comfortable sitting in a restaurant doing that, maybe just check out the grocery stores and just kind of make your own outside dining experience.
Also, to tie into that, because I was trying to brainstorm actually exactly the scenario, because I have a girlfriend I love and adore. She'll actually hear this. She won't dine alone. Like, it's just she can't get past that barrier. And I think that's something she'd be willing to try, because I was like, what would you do alone? And she travels tons, but she does definitely, she's like, she loves going to the botanical gardens, all those kind of big things when you go to the city. Yeah. Also, kind of piggybacking but different, I love having market days. So you can go to have a full market day, not dine alone, but like grab little bites at different stalls.
Yeah,
while you're like meandering and trying, trying all the different stall foods and still wandering and still people watching without the pressure of, you know, sitting at a table by yourself feeling weird.
Well, because I think that's the part of it. It's not necessarily eating alone, but like you do sometimes feel, and even I feel that sometimes when I am dining alone, I don't care. Like there are times I'm like, I wonder if people look at me and think like, oh, she, you know, you see these videos now on TikTok where people post videos of people eating alone. And I mean, have you seen the meme of Keanu Reeves like eating a sandwich on a park bench alone? Yeah. And they call it sad Keanu. And
he was probably so happy.
Yeah, he's just chilling. I mean, you can tell Keanu Reeves is a total introvert, probably loves spending time on his own. He's just chilling, eating like a delicious sandwich on a park bench, probably just having a break from whatever he was doing, and everyone's going, poor Keanu. It's like, what? Like, let's not feel sorry for people if they are sitting alone. But you can sometimes feel it, though, when you feel like people's eyes maybe are on you. And people like me, I can brush it off. I don't give a shit. Some people
I don't even
can't.
The irony is when I go out alone, and you can actually sit there and pay attention to what people who aren't alone are doing around you. You realize quite often you're not the sad one. They are. They are like either sitting together and they're both deep in their phones, not conversing at all. They're sitting together having uncomfortable conversations. Like it is just not fun for them.
Point out that could be a fun game if you are dining solo. Play a little game. Look around at some of the couples there and see if you can pick out the miserable ones, because trust me, they're there.
Yeah, trust me, the miserable people are never the people who are there dining alone. They are in their element.
For sure.
But yes, I think the picnic and the market days are a good alternative to dining alone if you're a solo traveler who doesn't love that. Yeah,
I would even say as well, if you do want to try out a restaurant, you know, see if they do have like bar seating area. I always find it a little bit more comfortable in some places, or I've been to like a lot.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of sort of like indoor market food halls that have almost like little restaurants inside, but they all have sort of like bar seating, single areas, yeah, which can feel more comfortable than sitting at a table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can always talk to the bartender.
Honestly, they're so chatty. And that's what even I did. I went to Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen in Vegas without a reservation by myself. They gave me a bar seat. There was a conference going on in town. I ended up talking to everyone. I learned so much about the HR Professional Global Conference at the Las Vegas Convention Center.
There you go. Learn something new.
There were over 1,400 people attending that conference.
Wow.
Yes.
Are you going to go back next year?
No. No. I swear to God, I always say I'm never going to go back to Vegas. And then I always somehow do. But I'm saying it again. I've been to Vegas enough.
You're a Vegas gal.
Oh, God, I am not. You know what? One thing I'm angling to try.
What's
and
that?
Once upon a time, this would have totally weirded me out. No interest. And now I don't know if this is a getting older thing, but because I've always gone solo. I'm fine going solo to concerts. I'm fine. I love big theater. Like I love Broadway. I love all those plays. But I've never been someone who's into like local performances.
Ooh.
So like small
like more
theater.
Independent. Yeah.
Well, no, I've never been one into indie music. I think you're way better at that than me. But I have friends here who love it and do it. A, and it's way fucking cheaper than the big artists and small theater. And it's bizarre that I've always been like, oh, I wouldn't do that. Because it's like, where did all these people on Broadway and on big stages start?
Where they like, started,
that's where the people I love used to play.
Yeah. And that's a good point to music. Like, finding local gigs around the city of like bands maybe you've never heard of. And I've done that. I've gone to a few gigs where like now the artist who I saw is like much bigger. I hear about them in the UK and I'm like, hey, I remember seeing them in, you know, in Lisbon like 4 years ago. They played like a little venue. Yeah, that's a great idea. Suss out some like gigs and concerts and whatever
and concerts
to go to.
These days are like minimum $200 to $300 where you could spend $15 for door cover for a band who could honestly be just as good.
Yeah And that's like not something where, you know, no one's going to be staring at you if you're alone at a gig.
No one's even gonna notice.
Like,
yeah,
no one's gonna notice. They are staring. If you, that's where, like, if you feel that people are staring at you in a situation like that, please remember you are not the reason people are there. Like, true. They are staring at the performers
artist.
They don't give a shit about you. Like, there is literally entertainment up on the stage. So no one is worrying about you standing there alone, drinking a beer, enjoying the music. I love going to gigs by myself. Like, and it's one of the best things. Yeah,
I know. And I hear about them all the time because also when I'm traveling by myself, I'm big on like cafe hopping. And that's primarily because I'm usually working at the same time I'm traveling. So I have to get a couple hours of work in every day. And B, I feel too guilty staying in one cafe at a time, like, because I'll go in, I'll order coffee, I'll order a bite to eat. And then there's a point where it's like, I should order more. I'm like, I might as well go explore a new place. And when I'm in these places, there's always boards with local things going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we probably just don't even pay attention to. I mean, granted, we'll caveat as well that you would need to understand the language of where you are.
Well, yes.
Like,
yes.
if you don't speak German and you're in, you know, Germany and there's... maybe concert fine, but maybe a theater production if it's all in German and you don't. But then you say that I went to a Bollywood film
premiere. Did too in India.
Well, you did. No, you did the
Bollywood tour.
The tour, but we did. We actually watched like.
Oh, that's right.
The screening of the Bollywood film that was, none of it was in English.
Yeah.
But the experience in itself, if anyone is going to India, either solo or group, whatever, go and watch a Bollywood film because it was the funnest thing I've ever done. And I didn't understand anything. And our tour guide, I think I mentioned this before, our tour guide was like, you don't have to understand anything.
Yeah.
Boy loves girl. Boy falls in love. Boy and girl fall in love. Boy and girl get married. Dance sequence. And he's like, fight scene, dance sequence. That is a Bollywood film. that's all you need to know kind of thing.
I love it.
So, I mean, maybe you just love theater and just want to enjoy, you know, in London even, they have the Globe Theater where they put on like all the Shakespeare sort of plays in the open air, like old theater. I did one of those last year. And even though it's in English, it's in Shakespeare English. And, you know, a friend of mine actually works there and he got me tickets. And I said to him, I'm like, I had the best time. It was great. But I realized I don't speak Shakespeare. I have no idea what
I'm having flashbacks to you sending me a voice note from there. You're like, I'm watching a Shakespeare play and I have no fucking clue what's going on. Like you were whispering.
I mean, not really. But, and it was, I don't even remember what play it was, but it's like an actual Shakespeare,
like the famous one.
Yeah. But, and they sort of modernized them. But, and so there's people there that obviously they know. And I'm like, oh, I'm just here for the experience of the theater in itself.
It's the story of my life.
Yes. Good tip. Book a ticket to a theater show, a gig. Yeah. And, you know, you might meet people while you're there as well.
Another one I love, which oddly I was thinking about it. And I think I've only done this as a couple, not a couple, but like with a friend.
Yeah. With someone. Yeah.
Our cooking classes. Obsessed. Mm. But every time I go, there's tons of solo people in the class. And you're all friends. You're all friends 10 minutes into it. Cracking jokes. They're the best.
Cracking eggs.
Cracking yolks. But it gives you the best of everything, really. It gives you, A, you're doing something. You're learning about the local culture, regardless. You're going to eat local cuisine. You're meeting other people traveling on their own or in couples or friends. Like, it is genuinely the best of everything, and it's hours. They are usually, I find, a little bit on the pricier side. I've never walked out of a cooking class, though, and been like, oh, I did wish I didn't spend that money. Never.
Yeah, I think, cooking class, definitely a really good one, because, again, it puts you in a group environment, even if you've come alone. Kind of the same as, doing the walking tours or whatever. The other one that comes to mind, that I've done this in a few places, and if we feel comfortable enough doing it, get on the dating apps, guys.
Yeah.
I actually sometimes find, and this is obviously if you're single, I'm not suggesting if you're doing a solo trip away from your partner that you start going on dating apps.
Maybe disregard this one.
Yeah. Unless you're in an open relationship, whatever you do you. But for the single girlies and the single boys, or men out there, I should say, single women and single men. Yeah, get on the dating apps. I find when I have gone on dates in other countries, it's almost like there's way less pressure, I think, because you kind of do know you're never going to see this person again. You can let your guard down a little bit. I mean, you never know. There's equally lots of people that meet on dating apps that do fall in love from other countries. And
yeah,
you know,
you never know.
But yeah, like just do that. If you feel like maybe you do want to dine out at a restaurant, not by yourself, or you do want to go for drinks at a cool rooftop bar, see if you can find a little date.
Can I tell you, so when I did my trip around the US before I moved to Australia and before I met my then partner, I loved the dating app on the trip around the States. Like, I'm such an advocate for this. Obviously, be safe, use your common sense, trust your gut. But I went on so many dates with local guys who, again, there's no pressure, because if they know you're traveling, it's not like this really awkward, oh, what is she going to want from me? Is she looking for a life partner? Like, all that stuff is out the window. And a lot of them will take you around and show you their town if they're locals and just show you cool shit you just would not have done on your own. And it's great, especially if you're traveling without a car. Now, everyone's comfort levels here is going to be different, but I went on tons of dates where I let them pick me up, take me out.
Yeah, I think I'm always a bit, I had one guy in Bali, he picked me up on like the back of his bike, because they all drive around like on bikes and mopeds. And I was a bit like, oh my God, like my anxious mind was like, what if he takes me into the, and we were in Kuta, like it's like the busiest beach area. And I'm like, nothing's going to happen to me. Like there's literally thousands of people around. But yeah, obviously, guys, we talked about it earlier. That women's intuition, that gut feeling, listen to your gut.
It's gone me everywhere. So I found either I would go on dates with like locals who like just showed me the local area and cool things, or there were tons of men who were on business trips who had like expense cards and would take me out for like nice dinners. And you know, they were expensing it. They weren't paying for it. They were like, But I went on some of the fanciest dinners because of men who had expense accounts. And it was great because there was never, and maybe this is me filtering really good before I decide who to go out to, but I never went on a date ever where I felt like, okay, this person's going to expect anything afterwards. Like, I was always totally comfortable being like, that was the best day. Thank you so much. And maybe it was clear expectations from the get go. Yeah, I had the best time. It was a great tip. Great tip.
I mean, yeah, I'm all for it. And I think a lot of the dating apps have like the friend sort of function now. I know like Bumble has like Bumble
BFF,
I think it's called. Yeah. So you could do that as well. But I think
Tinder, you can say looking for friends.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely. Like if it's something you feel comfortable with, and I feel like dating apps nowadays are just so ingrained in our everyday, like there's nothing taboo anymore about meeting people through apps. It's 2024 where we are this, you know, living in this generation of technology.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just such an easy way to meet. And you might even meet, like I even found when I was in Bali, because my friend and I, we were using the apps loads. I met loads of other travelers on there. Like there was other people that were also traveling looking just for like, you know, maybe a date that night. And so you might even just meet someone else from that's not even from there.
Yeah.
That's looking for the same thing. And you guys can just go have a little, you know,
I get the night out. I get the appeal of it. And I, like, even as we're recording this for me right now, it's Friday night. And I like, sometimes I get that. I really enjoy being in on weekends now. But sometimes I get that like, oh, I wish I were going out tonight and it would be so easy to find. I just can't be bothered to date. That's my problem.
Well, I think it's different though when you are where you live, because I'm the same in London. Steph and I are both very single and I'm on the dating apps, but very loosely. Like I pick it, and I don't know if it's like this in every big city, but like London is, I think, a dumpster fire for actual dating. Like I think if you were to come here.
I do hear this about every big city.
New York, Toronto, I think Melbourne. Probably Melbourne. Yeah. Like, I think it's just the nature of dating apps. So maybe it is nicer just using them with low expectations when you are traveling.
Zero expectations on the road. Yeah.
Totally.
Well, that's why I don't know. This is a random aside, but I'm in a group called Sis, Is This Your Man? Melbourne. And it makes you never want to date again. Because basically the group is women who are talking to a guy, have been chatting for a while, and either there's like little red flags or something they said, or they've ghosted for a week and then reappear or something. So they'll post a screen cap like of his dating profile and be like, I've been talking to this guy for a while, super interested, but getting just like little red flags. Does anyone have any tea on this guy? Every single post is like, yep, talk to him. He was horrific. He's misogynist. He's a narcissist. He ghosts. There are some where it's like, he's nice enough. Married. He's just not ready to commit. Tons of he's married. So many people in that group get busted because they'll be like, oh my God, that's my friend's husband. Please DM me. Like, the group, to be fair, is probably tinting my perspective of dating because the good guys aren't getting posted on there. But I'm just like, I cannot even get into it. Sorry, I've gone into a random aside about dating.
No. But it's even interesting that you say that, because I literally just had this discussion with my therapist. And I was saying exactly that, where I'm like, dating is a dumpster fire. And I am convinced every man I see on a dating app is a red flag, is a walking red flag. Because I think, and look, Steph and I have lived it. God help our ex-boyfriends back in the day. They are lucky that dating apps and technology did not exist. There's two ex-boyfriends particularly that I'm thinking about that they would have been blasted for the shit they did to Steph and I. So, so my therapist said, you know, because it basically comes out, and we're totally going off on a tangent here, but since we're talking about dating apps, it's natural now for our brains to just think the negative. And she was like, okay. She gave me an exercise to do, and maybe for those listening that are also feeling very down on the dating apps, do this. Swipe through the men that come up. You create a positive story about them in your head, even though it might not be true. Unless, obviously, there's, you know, obvious red flags there.
Yeah.
But create a positive story about that person in their head, that they're, say they have nieces and nephews they really love, they're animal lovers, they've got a good job, they're friendly to wait staff. And then you swipe left. You don't like them, but you swipe left. And then it's supposed to actually like build back up your brain to like automatically think there is good left in these men, even though I still don't believe it myself. I don't know. But But it's supposed to help with like things outside of dating as well, because okay. the problem with our brains, what it does, then we start thinking negatively about. So
honestly, I know, I think our tip of being on the dating apps while you're traveling is actually a good, it will probably actually help that, because when you only cross paths with someone for a few days, you're only going to get the best side of them. You're not actually going to see those. So it's easy to be like, oh, there are good men out there, because you're meeting the good side
of them. Totally. That's a good point. And because you have no expectations, because if then they ghost you, you don't care, because then you're back home. So yeah. I like this. Yeah. I feel like we've just therapized all of you. So there you go.
Excellent. Excellent.
The last tip that I have that I think is a very sort of simple thing, but it really helps, I know, for when I'm traveling solo. Guys, invest in a Kindle. Bring a Kindle with you.
This is so interesting, because I'll tell you mine after, my last one.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, bring a book if you want as well. But I find sometimes just sitting at a bar with a book, having a drink, can just, you know, the time just kind of gets spent doing that. And I don't know, I always feel like I'm not alone when I'm reading a book, if that makes sense. But having a Kindle, you can obviously just load it up with tons of stuff to read.
This is why, as different as we are, we're still friends. So my last one was actually like bookstore browsing. And I used to do this all the time, not even when I was traveling solo, but when I lived alone and I had a lot of friends who'd moved away, like all my friends suddenly were gone. And I was like, oh, in Canada, there's a store called Chapters or Indigo, but they have them everywhere. Yeah. Here in Melbourne, there's like Diamond, where you can go and like they all have cafes in them. I'm bringing it back to cafes, I guess. You can get a coffee, get something. You can just like browse. I can read books forever. Pick a book. I do buy it. I used to like read some for free in the store.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying you used to sit in the store and read it and leave?
Yeah. But I've had poor days. I've had poor days. And the stores know people do this. Yeah. And I'd like have my drink. I'd have a book I picked out after a while. I'd be reading. And it's that same similar like people watching. So you're still kind of absorbing the local culture around you, like people talking. But yeah, you're just kind of like, you're alone, but you're also in a book, but you're also people watching, like you're getting all elements, and it's very low pressure, like.
Yeah. And I think when I said Kindle, it doesn't, bring a book if you want.
Yeah.
I don't think
it
matters. I think just like, I say Kindle just because you can, you know, sometimes traveling with a big book is,
I like the Kindle tip, because I travel with books. I'm like, I'm definitely going to read this on this trip. And then
you don't.
The only time I actually read books usually or if I've picked them up off the free library in the hostel or wherever it is. Yeah,
at least a Kindle, like the amount of times I've traveled with my Kindle and haven't used it, and I'm like, meh, it weighs nothing. Like,
yeah,
but it's there.
That's a good point.
You know, there's been plenty of times that I do, like, say it's a sunny afternoon wherever you are, go get a glass of wine, sit out on, if there's outside seating.
Can we especially emphasize this for the men who are listening, because there's literally an account on Instagram. It's fantastic. It's called Men Who Read. And all it is, talking about creep photos, is people who take photos of men reading, usually on trains, but in restaurants and cafes. And every single photo of a man reading is so attractive.
There you go.
You just scroll through the account and you're like, wow, men reading is very attractive. You want to know how to pick up a woman? Read.
Read. Be reading a really interesting book. It was funny back in the day when 50 Shades of Grey was like so popular.
Yeah.
It was hilarious to not only see how many women on like the tube were reading about men as well. I loved, because it was such a trashy book anyways. I read it, but literally everyone was reading it.
I read like half of it because I won it in your family's Christmas exchange.
Oh yeah, that's right. We did like a pass the gift game. Steph was,
I was clearly last or first. And by the end of the game, I had 50 Shades of Grey.
She had 50 Shades of Grey, but it's such a trashy book. But it was just the hype back then. It was like 2012, I think. And there were so many like men reading this book, like attractive men I saw on the tube reading it. And I was like, okay, like they're not ashamed to be reading this book either.
They were probably reading it because it made them think women were things they're not actually into. Women like reading things they're not into. And there's this whole fantastic viral trend right now. I don't know if you've seen any of them, of like things I love men saying in books versus if they said it to me in person.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
fantasy versus reality. Like,
That's my only thought on men reading 50 Shades. It's like, they were probably like, oh, a woman like this. I'm going to speak to a woman like this. And it's like, don't you dare, sir.
I don't know if you ever got to the part in 50 Shades of Grey.
I gave up pretty soon, to be honest.
Where he pulls something. I'm just going to leave it at that.
I must not have got there.
For the people listening who have read it, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when
anal
I say
beads?
He pulls. No. Oh, okay, worse okay. than that. When he pulls something and throws it, if a man ever did that to me, I would be mortified. It is not sexy.
Oh.
I'm just going to leave it. I'm not even going to say what it is. Okay. If you haven't read the book, you can look it up.
Okay.
But if I say that Christian Grey pulls something and throws it.
I have a guess already.
There.
What?
Well, I don't need to know. Because this is a PG podcast. It's not actually a PG podcast.
It's not at all.
What are we? What are we
I think
rated?
It's listed as explicit because we swear.
There you go. Because we do have shit in the name, literally. And he doesn't pull shit, by the way.
Okay.
Okay. We're not going to talk about this anymore. Anyways, back to
solo travels, things to do. You know what I like about this episode, too? We didn't do the generic because there's nothing more frustrating than someone be like, go to a museum, go to a gallery. Because if you're someone who likes museum or galleries, you're already doing it.
Yeah, of course.
If you're not someone, like, you're not. Like, I don't want someone to be like, oh, go to a gallery. Like, not my vibe. Maybe in 2 years on this podcast, I'll be like, guess what I've gotten into? Who knows?
Yeah. But I mean, guys, right now, if you do like galleries and all that, it is a good thing to do solo as well, because it is an activity. But yeah.
And I think I will say, oh my God, I'm coming around now. But
yeah,
if you do enjoy galleries, I would reckon going solo is 1,000 times better than with someone, because you can peruse the way you want to.
Yes.
Take as much time at different art installations or whatever's going on there as you want versus someone who wants to see something else on the other side of the gallery.
But isn't that just traveling anyways? This is why solo traveling, we're advocates of it, because you can do everything on your own schedule, on your own time. And I feel like that's a good way to wrap this up, guys.
I agree.
Solo travel. We've actually done an episode, I believe, ages ago now, about our favorite solo travel destinations. So have a listen if you need some inspiration where to go. Take a listen to that episode and then take our tips when you are going to go and embark on your first solo travel trip. Wow, that was a mouthful to say. Oh my God. Solo travel trip. There we go. Yeah. Just use our tips from today and let us know where you're going. Where's your next solo trip to?
Yes.
We got to know. All right.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys.
See you next time.
All the Shit I've Learned Abroad is a travel podcast focused on anything and everything related to travel. You can listen to us on multiple platforms, from iTunes to Google Play Music and more. And with that, please, if you have a chance, give us a 5-star review on iTunes or whatever platform you listen on. That drives us up the charts and really, really helps us out. Want to support us on Patreon? Find us over at Shit I've Learned Abroad Pod, and donations start as low as just $1. Also, if you could follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Shit Abroad Pod, and Facebook by searching All the Shit I've Learned Abroad. Thanks so much for listening.